You're tuned into the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The following program is brought to you in living color on BTR.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
the man in the WWE.
You talking to me, you talking to these other guys?
What other guys? You talking to me? You talking to me?
I'm talking to you. You talking to me? Are you talking to these other guys
here? Ain't no other guys behind me.
I know.
He think this is a joke. He think we're joking. Do you think this is a joke?
No. I don't think this is a joke. I just think that... What's that? No, I don't think it's a joke. No, he thinks it's a joke. No, but I don't. It's funny, you know. Shut up. No, yeah, it's funny, but... you're probably right. He probably needs medication, that's all. Oh, see that? Now you made him mad. Look at his eyes. You know, truth. He doesn't like how that guy's eyeballing him.
Man, you crazy. You're talking to people that don't exist.
I know, it's like I'm insane, right?
And there we saw Triple H handling a situation like a boss. But he is not the boss here. I am the boss here at the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. CLW83 has given me the privilege. WrestleChat.net loves us. So we're going to have some fun tonight. So let me just point around the table here at the usual suspects. Let's start way up north with one of our other female regulars, Miss Trista Timpson.
Hey, everybody.
Good to have you back. It's been a while.
Thanks, Nikki. It's good to be back.
Then all the way in the other direction, way down and deep in the heart of Texas, I have Typho.
The only thing missing from Triple H and R-Truth's Are You Talking to Me segment was a Batista cameo.
I knew we needed something in there. Oh, yes. It is not three. It is four. And, of course, it has to be fourth.
This Monday, we saw a moment that will no doubt have the music dubbed over, just thus ruining 60% of the magic.
But such magic when you saw it live. As
that is true.
And if you didn't watch Monday, if you had not seen Monday Night Raw, shame on you. As we had seen the ascendancy of the Boss of Bosses. As we saw not one, but two title changes in one night. We saw some quoted insanity. We saw some big returns. As the evil Dr. Levis Hugh is pandering to me by putting JR at the table just to piss Michael Cole off. To actually give Zack Ryder some airtime, even if it was sitting on Michael Cole. And then giving me a few minutes of Jomo, not in slow-mo and not with his pyro, but I got that on Friday. So, yeah, it's only been the first week, but Trista, what do you think about the Evil Doc running things so far?
Well, I missed SmackDown, so no comments there. But from what I saw on Raw, I don't know. It's only been a week, right? So you can't really judge how it's going to go so far. But whatever puts Zack Ryder on my TV gets a thumbs up.
Would you agree with that, Typho?
I think so far so good, I guess. He's at least the most effective boss on a wrestling TV show since Bobby Lashley's TNA run.
Ouch. Does it interest you the fact that he's doing this as a face for the time being?
That's what I'm wondering, if he'll turn heel come Raw or even come SummerSlam. Because it does sound like re-signing Punk will probably have him as the corporate-type champion. But it is too early to tell.
Because we all know the evil doc has that in him.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
It's coming. But somebody seems to be out-assholing him for the moment, as John Cena was to reclaim his title only to get bowled over by Living Color's cult of personality.
Yes.
As he's standing there going, that's not Alberto's music. Well, duh. Although, admittedly, for a moment, I'm going to put my hand up. I thought Austin was going to come out, since they used that song for a video package for him a couple of years ago. However, silly me. I forget that this was Punk's intro music in Ring of Honor for a time.
Summer of Punk.
But, you know, Punk only shows up for a few seconds, waves his real belt around since Cena was holding up a very bad replica. Anybody notice?
Yeah.
Slightly. Once I saw pictures.
I think the usual captions was, mine is bigger than yours. Yeah, that's what she said.
Can't keep the real belt at room temperature.
Because the real belt is 20% cooler. And that is my only reference of that for tonight. Now, since Trista did say wait and see when it came to Evil Doc being in charge, I am going to throw the question out. Is Punk back too soon? Trista, I'll start with you.
Probably not. Sorry.
Oh, no, you can go first. I have to think up my answer.
Okay, fourth, go ahead.
I was going to say probably not if they try to tease up SummerSlam, making Triple H seem like a face, and then he ultimately costs Cena the match. Then if Punk is not back for good, if he's leaving at Night of Champions, and they can at least do something there, or after that, Cena can have a long-term thing with Triple H against him as the boss. But I don't know, if they're bringing him back with Triple H as a face, then maybe at least a little too soon for an outright appearance on Raw. Maybe just have him interviewed by the website.
Typho?
I don't think it's too soon because of how hot he's gotten over the last couple of weeks with this angle. It would be dumb not to have him on TV. I'm sure you keep building and building towards it, towards his return, but knowing how they book, it would probably just be a disappointment when he came back because he'd probably, like, just eat an STF or something in segment. So might as well just get him back right now and let him ride the hot streak as far as it's going to go.
And this hot streak on top of him showing up at the end of Raw, he has been bouncing around on media. He popped up on Jimmy Kimmel, had fun with somebody's kid, including using the word poopy. Ah, Punk.
Making sure we knew it was not a belt, but a championship title.
Yes. It is a symbol. It is the Holy Grail, I believe, is the other one they like to use. He also had that brilliant interview on Bill Simmons' podcast. For our listeners, if you have not heard it, wait till after the show and then go look for it. Best 45 minutes you'll ever spend. As Punk has essentially told the wrestling world what I've been trying to tell the IWC whenever an angle starts them a-whining. Sit down, shut up, enjoy the ride.
If there is one. Sometimes it just stops suddenly and then you get dropped off in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, although it's hell hitchhiking back.
Yeah.
Wade Barrett's waving somewhere.
And unfortunately he's standing next to Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel. And they're all looking at each other going, now what?
Well, then Tonga carries the Nexus flag.
Daniel Bryan drove by. He didn't stop. No, I take that back. He did pick Barrett up.
I think Tarver drove by, but he was too busy on Twitter and didn't notice.
Ouch.
I think that'd be legal.
Oh, that never stopped anybody. But yes, Punk has been has pretty much kept, is still trying to keep everybody's attention. Getting a little bit of the media darling stuff, has been able to get that wonderful T-shirt that debuted in Money in the Bank now in a regular form and something just a touch more affordable for the rest of us.
Not $500.
I unfortunately know somebody in Indiana who sold his T-shirt for $500.
Holy shit. That's insane.
And I almost want to call him a hypocrite because he was the only Cena fan in the Allstate Arena that night.
I could hear some kids. How old's your friend?
26.
Okay.
Actually, and if any of you saw the pay-per-view, he was one of the guys pretty close to where Punk went up over the guardrail. He was standing next to another dude wearing a rainbow curly-haired wig.
Okay, I remember the curly wig guy.
Yeah, those two are super fans. The curly
haired
wig,
the jacket.
The guy with the white jacket.
Yeah, okay.
That's him. Because they panned by him at one point. He sat there and just showed off his Cena shirt. And I'm like, yes, John, I know. You're a Cena fan.
You mean the people of Chicago let him live?
I did congratulate him on his survival. I had to. Oh, yes, and somebody reminded me to pass along, yes, Skinny John, the guy in the white jacket, is a super fan out of Indiana, and the curly-haired wig guy is also known as Frank the WWE Clown, who is a super fan out of Chicago. So I'm sure he's enjoyed the fact that Punk is bringing much notoriety to the big city. In fact, Punk did me an interesting solid when he showed up at an AAW show in Berwyn, Illinois, and gave props to a gentleman I've worked with, a wrestler named Gregory Iron. The reason this is kind of important is that Greg Iron has a mild form of cerebral palsy. So he does have a little bit of trouble walking, and his right arm? His right arm isn't quite fully formed, but the boy can cut a promo. He's a good worker, and Cabana and Punk pretty much spent a good chunk of a main event that night just giving him all kinds of props. So
that's awesome.
Because I can't say that. The independent scene is such a tight-knit family in some places. There are many locker rooms that I have been in where guys have been really, really cool, where everybody knows each other from one show or another. It's something that Punk will never forget. It's something that Daniel Bryan didn't forget during his hiatus. And something that I will always remember in my time living in Ohio. And I do say I've missed it. I have missed it a lot. Let's see. Oh, really? Okay. Something else from the chat room. They sent me a link about Greg Iron on ESPN. Is that to the chat room? Was that another? Was that part of the? Was that just the Greg Iron clip airing on ESPN? I'll have to find that out. But yeah, as has been said, this has turned out to be Summer of Punk 2.0, all the way up to the fact that he will be on Raw next Monday. He's going to open the show. And he will explain himself.
I hope he signs his new contract on the belt.
That'd be That I would dig. So what I'm going to do, guys, is that I've got somebody holding for us right now. It is a fellow worker, another gentleman from the Columbus, Ohio area, who understands pretty much how punk is, because after all, this guy works in the independent scene. So I'm going to bring him on right now. David Lanning, good evening, and welcome to my humble abode.
Nicky. How's the championship committee thing working out for you?
And how's your knee?
95%.
I think the decimal's misplaced. But I've asked you to come to the show because we need a semi-professional opinion. Specifically about Punk's raucous running about, and the fact that he's popped up at independent shows, he's been given a bit of free rein. Is this what wrestlers like yourself aspire to? Is this what you dream about at night? Is this what you wake up and have ruined a perfectly good pair of tights over?
Well, I don't know. You see my tights, so you know that they do cost quite a bit of money, and I hate to ruin them. However, like you said, Punk has been given pretty much a free rein right now. I mean, he truly has. And let's face it, he's gone out and he's done things. He's done one major thing that nobody else has done in a long time. He's got people talking. Whether it be the fans, the marks that just hang out and think, ooh, I like this John Cena guy, or whether it be the boys in the back, he's got everyone talking. You know, I was listening earlier, and I was thinking to myself, they're asking, did he come back too soon? Yes and no. Technically, it wasn't too soon, because when you look at things right now, dude's merchandise is selling out everywhere. Everywhere. CM Punk stuff is gone. It's kind of like when Edge retired, you go to the store and you look for an Edge action figure, gone. You go for a CM Punk action figure right now, gone. But they could have drug it out just a little bit longer, I think. Maybe bring him back, close out SummerSlam with Punk coming back out. That's just my opinion.
Now, have you heard Punk's interview on Bill Simmons?
I did not.
Okay. He actually brought it up that the angle was just too hot for him to not be there.
See, again, I kind of disagree with that. I mean, I truly do disagree. But I'm not the guy in the back with the suit and the tie writing the stuff. It was a hot angle. When's the last time that any of you guys have ever seen an angle like this, get this over with the fans and draw this much?
I open it to the floor.
Not since maybe Hogan's return, to be honest.
At least a decade.
Tristan?
NWO, maybe?
I've thrown a couple of we've thrown a couple instances around last week. There was mentions of the some things that happened in the Attitude Era, Hogan's return leading up to WrestleMania 18, post Royal Rumble 2004. Benoit friendly zone to speak of.
Who?
What did I just hear?
Jim the Anvil Neidhart is not part of this conversation. Now, actually, Dave, I'm going to throw another question at you. With the fact that Punk has also reached out to hit some of his ROH roadmates, the fact that Cabana looks like he's getting his job back, and the Kings of Wrestling have been called aboard. How do you like their chances?
It depends. Do they bring in the Kings as a tag team? Which I can't see why they wouldn't. I mean, you bring in the Kings as a tag team right now, and you let them run roughshod. But the sad thing is, they bring in the Kings as a tag team, inevitably they're going to break them up. And then who's the Michaels and who's the Jannetty of the group? I like their chances a lot if they're handled right. Cabana has been an unsung talent for, what, 10 years?
If not
Eight
more.
Years, something like that?
If I not mean, more.
He has been an unsung talent for that long. The cool thing about Colt Cabana is the first time that people see him, they're like, oh, there's some joker that just likes to go out there and, you know, he basically makes fun of the sport in the ring. But then you actually watch a Colt Cabana match, and you're like, holy shit, this guy can work. I mean, he could work circles around a lot of the guys in there.
What I worry about in Cabana's case, and I don't know if anybody else here in the panel would agree, do you think they'll end up that Cabana could end up career or character-wise as messed up as, say, Santino? Santino is a solid worker in his own right, but most people see him more as a comedy act.
I don't see that out of Cabana. They already tried that route with him with Scotty Goldman. I mean, he lost every match he was in.
Mm.
I was going to say, it depends on how they push him out of the gate. Do they push him as being a wrestler who's kind of a joker, or as more of a joker who can wrestle a little bit? If it's a wrestler who's a little bit of a joker, then he has a chance.
I don't see him pushing him as the Joker. I see straight Second City Saints, Cabana, and Punk. And the guy that I feel most sorry for in the whole deal is Ace Steel.
Me too, man. Me too. When it's a shame too, because he was sitting with Cabana at Money in the Bank. The two of them were sitting spitside enjoying the fireworks, and the fact that Steel had a developmental deal the same time Cabana did, because it was him and Cabana and Seidel, and, you know, already an ROH invasion slowly started into OVW. Mind you, that was 4 years ago, but still, the fact that I think somebody has, if Punk didn't do it, somebody has finally pointed the right people in the direction of Ring of Honor and saying, hey, look, wrestlers, guys who can work, guys with experience, which is why you don't work there, Dave.
The thing about it is, for every Colt Cabana you've got out there,
mm-hmm.
there's four more Sin Caras waiting in the wings. And I mean, I got to tell you, I can only watch so much Botchamania before my brain explodes.
Well, somebody apparently agrees with you to the point that Sin Cara has actually been pulled from the SmackDown intro, so that doesn't bode well.
No. Who's the girl that said something earlier about Zack Ryder getting TV time is great in her book?
Speak up, Ms. Trista.
That's me.
God love you, girl. God love you.
Hey, let's get married. I live in Canada. Is that a problem?
He's got a kid. Is that a problem?
We can work
hey,
around
kid.
It.
A bum knee, you know. I mean, hey. Do you like giving back massages?
Ooh. I
do I need to get you guys
after like 5 minutes? So.
Did I say giving or getting?
What?
Did I say giving or getting?
Now I'm confused. Yay!
Do you like giving back massages?
I charge after 5 minutes of this talk. I hope
that's
you
charge
okay.
after 5 minutes of getting one? I was talking about I was gonna give you one.
Oh. You said you like receiving, see?
Might as well make money off the deal, I guess.
Now she's confused. My work here is done.
It sounds like one of those weird chat minds that would advertise on Basic Cable in 1993.
Oh, don't feed his ego! But no, okay, so the thing about Sin Cara is he was Triple H's pet project.
one of many.
And, yeah, and now I almost feel like, you know, if they're building to something between Hunter and Punk, in a way this is kind of Hunter's way of redeeming himself with the fans for the mess that is Sin Cara.
Oh, I can't blame him for karma.
Hey,
He did not.
I said somebody had to.
I know, but shit, I have Peter Gabriel's sledgehammer stuck in my head. Damn you!
But the thing about it, you can't blame the whole thing with karma on him.
No, I won't. I just, you know, it's just the interesting timing, and you know, as you said, Hunter might have might have his feet to the fire after the whole Sin Cara thing. So,
but he could come out right now, and his new gimmick could just be set for life, Triple H, and he's fine. I mean, dude has 3 kids with Vince's daughter,
and they're all girls, which makes me laugh even harder.
That is pretty
funny.
Yeah. I just
trust me. I already know with one daughter that I'm paying for the sins of my youth.
I even remember hearing someone say that if Triple H and Stephanie were to get divorced, that Vince jokingly said that he would really miss Steph.
Sadly, I believe that.
Yeah, so do I, actually. Well, I mean, think about it, though. Hunter's actually had some pretty good hits. I mean, he was the guy that was really high on Sheamus, and, you know, I might catch a lot of heat from some of you guys about this, but Sheamus is a machine, man.
He is. I agree.
No.
I don't like him as champion, ever. I forget he was champion because it never felt like he was. That's something WWE like really needs to improve on, is that when you have a champion that's not John Cena or Randy Orton, then maybe you should have them like feel more like a champion. Like WrestleMania was all about what's John Cena and The Rock going to do, and then it's like, wait a minute, The Rock isn't even wrestling. Cena's against The Miz. Like,
yeah, Miz
champion.
Is
shouldn't people know it was going to be John Cena versus The Miz?
Which I was
The Miz
waiting
was there.
Thank you. I was waiting for a spot where John Cena would be in the ring, The Rock jumps in the ring, and the two of them are staring each other down, while Miz is unfortunately the Kurt Angle and is going, hey, over here, guys, over here, hey. And then they both punch his lights out.
No, but then that takes away the whole champion feel of The Miz.
I understand that, but that's pretty much the spot I was waiting for at Mania, because Miz was just utterly devalued. And this whole angle with Punk, I'm hoping they've got the buzz now. Now let's see if we can actually get the belt to be worth something more than the plastic replica that Cena and Mysterio were waving around all night.
Nothing pisses me off more than the WWE having a big tournament and then the champion losing, like, the prize, like, 2 hours later.
Actually, Rey Mysterio's total time as champion, 61.9 minutes.
Oh, my bad. An hour later.
6:19.
Crickets.
Yokozuna would envy that time.
That was
so with Kane's first reign. The bad thing about it is, though, I mean, they've devalued titles for so long. I mean, I can remember, you know, like old, even WCW still did it to a point, the champion's privilege. The champion always comes out last. Challenger intro first. The champion's privilege. Who was the first guy out at WrestleMania this year?
Miz. You're talking as in the first guy at the show altogether, or for the main event?
The first guy in the show altogether. Who was the first guy out?
Edge.
Wayne.
Edge.
Oh.
Your world heavyweight champion. You open
lower
the show.
Lower on the card than Snooki.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
Payday is Snooki.
And whatever happened, I thought Blanca was supposed to be a swimming taller. What happened with that and her? It upsets me so much, you know, as a worker, as a guy that has been in the business for a while, and before that, as a fan, it gets to me that the larger companies don't recognize that anymore. I mean, you know, one of the companies that I work for around here, the first thing that he says to a new ring announcer is, listen, here's how we do the intros. The heels are always out first, baby faces are out second, unless it's a champion, then it's whoever holds the belt. And he looks him right in the eye and he says, that's your champion's privilege. And that's how it should be. But now they've got, you know, Miz was champion, and because Miz was supposedly a lesser draw than John Cena, Miz is out first. Give Miz some credit. Dude can work his ass off. He did everything that they asked him to do. I mean, he's still going around doing everything that they asked him to do. He threw out the first pitch at the Indians game last Tuesday. And still, they're working the angle with him of, oh, he was the champion, but now he's got to climb his way back up the ladder. Come on. Give the dude a good push and let him run with it.
I do apologize. Yes, that's exactly what you thought it was. You see, the Raw general manager no longer has a job, and thanks to the boss of bosses, so he decided to come and harass me. The first part of the email reads, Trista, Tyler Black would be so disappointed in you.
He would never be disappointed in me.
You were just hitting you're hitting on David Lanning.
Whatever.
And I can understand why he would be disappointed.
I only know Seth Rollins.
Does Tyler Black still have a big, shiny silver title?
Do you still have a big, shiny silver title?
Because guess who does, Nikki Haymon?
What? They should.
This
I thought,
guy.
With your knee, you should have been out for months. And then you had the gall to get the locker room against me?
They just keep sending them at me. I just keep knocking them down.
Last weekend
was some 6'7", 350-pound guy.
Gator?
No, but equally is mentally handicapped.
Ooh, I'm sorry. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you bask in your glory for a couple of minutes, because the other reason that the GM emails me is that we're a little past our halfway point in the show, and we have some sponsors to placate. CLW83 and WrestleChat.net love the North American Wrestling Connection as much as they love me. We'll be back shortly.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the phone and chat mail. I have to hit you again.
On the CLW83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Can you hold a conversation for more than 5 minutes? Have something interesting to say? Are you susceptible to hepatitis? Then we have something for you. We're looking for guests to be on the CLW 83 Night Shift in the fall. Email us at CLW83NightShift@gmail.com for details.
Who wants to drink from the fire hose? We know you do, but we're not that kind of show. Tune in weekly for odd news and a new weekly co-host. Because we go through co-hosts like Lindsay Lohan goes through parole officers. It's the Webmaster's Corner, every week, only on the CLW 83 Network.
This is Daniela Martin, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network.
There's a fly in my soup.
And we are back after that brief hiatus, as we will continue with the North American Wrestling Connection. As I have brought, I've brought on a special guest out of pure sympathy, Mr. David Lanning, who has been adding a great deal to the conversation. And I do apologize if I'm stepping on anybody's toes tonight by having him on board. Typho, Forth, you guys are always free to jump in and ask questions. You know that.
Thank you.
Always ready.
Do they know about how you got ran out of Ohio, Nikki?
I don't recall if I've told the story.
Yeah.
I don't remember much short of
passing out.
You didn't get Gorilla Monsoon, did you?
No. All I know is it was. Good Lord, somebody shoot that dog. It was more like Bobby Heenan, except there was no suitcase full of toilet paper.
Yeah, that's a good video. Feel free to check that out anytime. I've been posting that everywhere I can, Nikki.
Mm-hmm. Will that include the simple assault on me?
Like I told you that night, you can't bring a transgender woman, man, thing to do a championship job.
Super Oprah is all woman.
That's what the ring announcer said he found out later that night.
I have a question. Do you think it would be good for the independent scene or bad for the independent scene if WWE continued to look more toward the independent promotions over SCW, for example, for talent?
I think it would be a great thing for the independent scene. The independent scene has a lot of things that the WWE doesn't have right now. I mean, I've said this for years about just me personally. I would rather watch a good independent show over a poorly booked pay-per-view. Because, I mean, seriously, with a lot of the indie shows, it actually adds an intrigue factor back into it. You don't know who's going to go over in every match. And the internet's not your worst enemy.
Yeah. Plus, I'd rather see more and more of the so-called indie darlings / vanilla midgets than I would see a Mason Ryan or someone like that. I don't want to watch Mason Ryan. Nobody wants to watch.
Who would you rather watch a match with? Would you rather watch a match with Mason Ryan or let's see, Mason Ryan or Roderick Strong?
Mason Ryan.
It's a better
view. I guess we know who voted for him on a fan vote night now.
No offense, Mr. Lanning, but Roderick Strong, I have met him, I have worked with him, and he still looks 12.
dude's a good guy, though, and he can work.
He's a solid worker, don't get me wrong. He looks 12.
Austin Aries is another guy that I would actually pay money to see in a main event.
You can watch him for free down south.
How bad? Yeah, but I hate Florida. How badly are they going to screw up the Daniel Bryan Money in the Bank at WrestleMania thing?
It depends on the direction. And just for Trista's knowledge, since she missed SmackDown this evening, Wade Barrett seems to be bound and determined to get that briefcase out of Daniel Bryan's hands. Failed to in a mini beatdown that ended with a LaBelle lock. But that could be a wonderful little feud. It's just, I think they're starting that a little too soon if they're thinking that they're going to have Daniel Bryan cash in at Mania.
Does anyone here actually think he'll make it to Mania with that briefcase?
No.
If he did make it and cash in at WrestleMania, the Edge Alberto Del Rio match opening this year would look good in comparison. Bryan's match would probably be like the dark match.
No, he gets pulled from dark matches, remember?
I'd like to see Daniel Bryan cash it in and then lose, and then the next week he's like, oh, well, back to the U.S. title scene for me. And then, like, that's his only shot at being in, like, the main event, and then he just failed at it. Just, like, keep mentioning it, but just be like, oh, but he didn't get it. So here's his match with Sheamus.
I didn't realize Michael Hayes was on the line.
Give him a mullet here.
No, I just don't like him.
Well, no,
you don't like Daniel Bryan?
Do you not like Daniel Bryan? Or Roderick Strong?
I personally think, Trista, I would agree with that only, but there I have one little problem with it. That would only make Michael Cole 100 times more insufferable than he is already. If anybody happened to be listening,
he can always change, though. Like, it's not gonna be, like, this isn't gonna happen next week. Like, maybe it'll happen like after the Rumble or something. Wrestling changes all the time. Maybe he won't be so annoying by the Rumble. Never knows.
I've been waiting for him to change for over a year now.
Yeah, he was supposed to have been shut up after that feud with Lawler finally came to an end. That didn't happen.
Exactly, and even bringing JR back hasn't seemed to fix the problem. Now he's just absolutely insufferable on SmackDown and then tries to interrupt everything on Raw. Anybody who happened to have their Twitter running Monday night probably heard me ranting and raving about the fact that I wanted Michael Cole to take a locker room full of finishers.
I thought that Michael Cole was supposed to be shut up after that little comment that he made not long ago.
Glad never called back. I'm actually offended at that. Then again, and I'm surprised they didn't make a phone call about Punk, but Punk took his punishment a couple of nights later when he was properly handed a box of receipts, including a glam slam.
Somehow I don't think that's the first time he's been glam slammed.
CM Punk is the biggest whore in the wrestling industry. Let's just leave it at that.
That's what she said.
Does anybody else think that the only reason Christian has a world title right now is because of Randy Orton's radio interview when he kind of threw Billy Kelly under the bus?
That was
probably
so stupid.
Yes and no.
As funny as that comment was, it was completely uncalled for and very unprofessional of him. Which I know he later realized and apologized, but...
Well, why not throw her under the bus when apparently she's been under a lot of dudes?
That's just something the public didn't need to know. And to be honest, I think this was going to happen eventually only because despite my demand that the Christian Orton feud has a role reversal problem, that Christian should have remained face and Orton needed to remain heel,
And the fact that Orton keeps losing to the freaking announce table.
I think it's Japanese.
It may very well be. Now that I think about it, it may very well be. Because twice tonight, he tried to RKO the heck out of Truth, and the table said no.
Why is Truth on Raw, or on SmackDown? I thought he was a Raw guy.
He is, and so is Jomo. Jomo showed up for a I felt was a tune-up match with Christian, since they're going to, I think they're going to set him up against Truth for SummerSlam. Truth just showed up because, well,
glad he can go anywhere.
He also said something about continuing his conversation with the boss of bosses, and unfortunately, he only brought his little Jimmies, and the Evil Doc didn't have his with him.
Zack Ryder was there just because he can be.
Well, now that he's got...
When you're the internet champion, you can go wherever you want.
And since Hunter said, here, go work for Teddy Long. Zack Rose said, yes.
Have you seen the new internet title?
I have seen the newer belt. I saw a couple of pictures of it. I also need to go see the latest episode of Z just for the cartoon. They did some sort of Scooby-Doo cartoon in it with The Undertaker.
Optimus Primo.
this is kind of proof that when they're ignoring you there, you make your own buzz, and you get your own following, and sooner or later, people will take notice.
He was on Colt Cabana's podcast, and he made a point and saying that he has 2 t-shirts out and he's had 1 match on Raw, like, as of the podcast date. But because he's, like, just so much in demand that, like, they have to give him merchandise. And he's like, yep, 1 match on Raw. As of that airing date. He was obviously on it this past week.
Zach's dad has acquired a pair of Morrison's pants now.
I'm not sure
if dad's more ripped than Morrison is.
No, I think the term was Zacked.
Yeah,
I do not believe that Zack Ryder's dad would actually have better abs than John Morrison.
I didn't say he had better
Dad's
abs.
A bodybuilder.
But he's bigger.
He's a bodybuilder.
Zack Ryder's dad's a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm. He talks about it on the podcast with Cabana, which I highly encourage everyone should listen to. That's my biggest fear about WWE signing Cabana, is that I hope they don't make them stop that.
I'd be more worried that they'd let him do it with provisions.
It'd be watered down.
Yeah.
Be way watered down.
So he might want to keep that one under the radar.
Does NBC know this show is on the air?
There would be the positive of Vince McMahon not knowing what the internet is yet. So
we're going to keep it that way. Hunter barely understands it himself, but he kind of likes it because every now and again he'll see stuff that makes him sound better than he might actually be.
I think we're a good 4 to 5 years away from getting our first MySpace gimmick.
Ouch.
That's fair. I was just going to make a MySpace joke. Damn you, Typho.
Wow.
Somebody's got to do it.
Damn you to hell. I don't mean that. Just a little.
You just wanted to darn him to heck, right?
Burn!
The cool thing about Colt is he's always been about shilling the gimmicks, you know? I mean, whether it's just Cabana headbands, whether it's T-shirts, whether it's DVDs. I mean, hell, I was on eBay a few days ago, and I found the Best of Colt Cabana VHS tape.
Was he selling it?
He was selling it.
Oh, you think he'll trade it? He might trade it for GNC product. Oh, wait a minute. DJ's not on this show.
I mean,
no, we know the DJ who raped a GNC to get him stuff.
Wow.
Was it DJ Tanner?
Was it DJ Tanner?
No, it's just, it's, he's not a wrestler. He's a he's a wrestling fan friend of mine. He used to come with me to OVW shows when they would do Second Saturdays in Cincinnati, and we'd run into Colt there. And actually, I'll tell my other Colt story about running into him in Indianapolis. He's also one of those guys that can keep a locker room together. He apparently was goofing around a lot at an IPW show. And after the show wrapped up, I was getting ready to leave, and Jobber, you know Jobber.
Oh, I know him.
Comes out and says, Nick, yeah. We need your camera. So I walk inside. Here's Jobber, Chris Madness, Irish Airborne, Cole, Astonishing Aaron Williams, and two or three other guys, all carrying cases of Coke Zero and demanding that they get a group picture of it. So I have this picture of 10 wrestlers who do work for Coke.
Remind me to tell you about Mike Sparta sometime.
I look forward to it.
I wouldn't be broadcasting that too loud. Brutus Beefcake might show up at the door.
How about Sparta?
Beefcake?
Or working for Coke.
What a douchebag. I hate him. He is, oh, what a douche.
You and the Boston Mass Transit Authority.
I was on a show with Beefcake one time. And he just basically sat around in the corner, didn't really talk much to anybody. But when we got to the after party, he was really talking to two of Tracy Brooks' friends the whole
Uh-oh.
Night long. And by friends, I mean her tits.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
I don't know how good a pickup line it is, though, when you're asking him to come back to Hulk Hogan's basement with you.
I can't brew his Beefcake, not Brian Knobbs. Actually, it's probably Brutus Beefcake, Brian Knobs, and a couple other people living in Hogan's basement.
I'm sure one of them gets the attic
for a while.
I said, didn't his wife evict them in the divorce? Oh wait,
yeah,
she got custody of Knobs, I think.
That's like having another kid. It's like having one of those Jersey Shore kids.
Oh man.
Not cool.
I don't know if they'd be that bad.
Wow, we're not getting much done tonight, but that's okay. We actually did get a lot done before you showed up, Mr. Lanning.
Gee, look at that. I interrupt everything.
It's okay.
I'm digging this girl. She's kind of cool.
Well, why don't you two can go hook up on MySpace, and I'm sure you guys will be happy to swap stories, among other things.
No one will find us on MySpace.
I can't even find myself on MySpace.
I think Tom is the only person that would notice. Somebody just logged on.
Do you guys think Tom's down to one friend yet?
I wonder if my
if
MySpace
not, he's
still
getting
run.
There.
I wonder if my MySpace even runs. I haven't looked at it in 2.5 years, 3 years? Oh, well.
It's actually a MySpace movie coming, huh?
Is it a WWE film?
Jacob Goodnight in the MySpace movie.
With Pitch Perfect reviews.
Co-starring Jarko Grimwood?
I'm sure he'd be Pitch Perfect.
Wow.
Oh.
WWE films, though. I mean, they're making some more stuff, right? I mean, did anybody see the Randy Orton movie?
No.
I heard that was really decent.
That's because Randy Orton was in it for less than 10 minutes.
Maybe he was in it for like 2 minutes. My friend said he was only in there for like 2 minutes tops.
That's why the movie was so good.
But like as like a whole though, he said like he really enjoyed the movie. Like it wasn't just like a good movie for like WWE, but like it was just like a good movie.
Hmm.
I would have seen it if Christian's deleted scene was an actual scene in the movie.
Just for the record, Mr. Lanning, I did not hang up on you. I thought about it, but I did not hang up on you. You're the one who bailed.
You know, it happens.
But, although speaking of WWE films, I believe Hunter's got another one coming up.
Chaperone 2?
No, thankfully, no. Although it sounds like he's doing something similar to his Ray Bradstone character in this other one. I cannot remember the name of the film. Maybe somebody was just pulling my leg.
The Substitute Teacher.
Fourth, you know what I'm talking about.
A few days ago, sure.
Fourth, I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, like kind of a dopey kind of child comedy type movie, or...
No, it was actually, this one was going to be an actual action flick.
Like an ex-con, what you're saying, or...
Yeah, something like I said. I jokingly say that it's you know, the Ray Bradstone character, but it's instead of being a kiddie movie, it might be an actual action movie.
Do they actually drop him in the middle of a forest with a bunch of other convicts? And no.
And unfortunately, he doesn't shack up in a creepy hotel with some dude carrying a boat hook.
And Patricia Clarkson isn't there wondering, what the fuck happened to my career?
Yeah, nobody kidnapped his wife, do they?
No, not this time.
I'm going to admit this one. I actually liked Legendary.
It was a good movie.
Ah, here we go. Somebody has passed this along. Triple H's next movie is called Inside Out. Triple H, Parker Posey, Bruce Dean, and Michael Rapaport released theatrically the weekend of September 9th before being released to Netflix, DVD, and Blu-ray.
On September 10th.
All right. Formerly known as Killing Karma, this film tells the story of AJ, a.k.a. Triple H, who has been behind bars for 13 years after being tried and convicted of murdering his stepfather, who was abusing his mother. After being released, he becomes involved when he must protect his best friend and his family after an accidental shooting leads to some mob retribution. Triple H replaced Batista in the film, and Batista had made it clear he was planning to leave the Fed. Dave, you don't throw shit like this away.
There goes his Oscar nod.
I thought Batista was supposed to be in The Chaperone, and that's why he left.
They pitched him The Chaperone, and he just walked out.
Batista in a kids' movie is like Stephen King reading your kid a bedtime story.
To
be fair, if you've seen the way Batista is treated on what was the WrestleCrap forums, it wouldn't be that far of a stretch.
And Hunter said it himself on SmackDown. He's stepped on a lot of toes in his career.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
But Hunter stepped on toes? I don't think so. I must have missed that.
You're killing me. No way.
I don't need a seagull.
Batista in a kids movie is like waking up in the morning next to you, Nikki. I mean, it's nothing anybody wants to see.
Oh, he's just mad that he thinks that I'm the one that orchestrated his knee injury.
You'll be happy to know they are actually surgically repairing it this week.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear.
I'm out for 2 to 3 months.
Well, you rest that knee up and make sure somebody proper holds onto that U.S. belt for you. We're pretty much out of time for now, so. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad that you were here, even you, David Lanning. So for now, I must bid all adieu for the North American Wrestling Connection. CLW83, thank you. WrestleChat, thank you. And to my guests, thank you for sticking around.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. Always a pleasure.
Of course, Dave. And call any time if you need some actual advice.
Thank you very much. See ya.
See ya. All right, guys. What'd you think of Dave?
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if he took up too much time with the show. I wanted him on there. I wanted him on for a worker's opinion.
It was actually kind of nice.
I just worried that you got dropped. You two were practically dropped out of the conversation. To that, I apologize.
That's all right. I'm actually not much of a talker when I'm serious, anyway.
Well, I just got a text from Dave. He enjoyed being on the show.
If I need my talking time, I've got my own show now. You know. Sponsored by the CLW83 network these days.
So Tuesday Night Typho is still in full swing.
I'm an affiliate now.
That's right.
Wait, does that mean you have an hour now, or?
No, of course not. I'm just an affiliate.
No,
I still get to deal with the Blog Talk Radio politics, always holding me down.
I think it has more to do with my weekly facts about Nancy Grace than anything else.
Or maybe the fact that I played that Warrior sound clip about 700 times.
No, I'm glad you guys had fun, and I'm glad that Dave was able to call in. I was trying to get him last week. Just for a worker perspective on, you know, on the whole, you know, punk in it, on the whole end of the, what we thought was the end of the punk angle. But he disappeared on me for the most part. But
yeah, I was going to mention during the Colt Cabana talk that after his last podcast, he posted on YouTube the promo that for the Pulaskis that they shot in 2007 that was supposed to be a WWE angle with Colt and Chet the Jet and the former Amish Roadkill. They were going to come up as a Polish group or a Polish stable.
Right, but Chet does not speak a word of Polish. That was my understanding why they didn't, one of the reasons why they didn't do it.
Yeah, I remember at the time that once they found out he was Polish or something, they started devising this angle. And they're like, wait a minute, what do you mean? You don't speak Polish? It's like, no. So what about this bald guy behind you? What does he do? It's like, well, he can say chickens.
I mean,
from the promo that Cole posted, Chet the Jet was supposed to be like the mic guy, I guess. He was like seemed to be the leader of the group, while Colt was the comedy sidekick, and Roadkill was the silent muscle, I guess. It was obviously shot during the Vince's illegitimate son angle because they're talking about their debut on Raw and how Vince has an illegitimate son and Colt takes the mic and says he actually has three and he's Polish and Vince is Polish.
Oh no! Actually, that would have worked out better. That falls in the middle between Hornswoggle and Kennedy.
I think it would have been fun seeing the illegitimate son being revealed only for a stable of Polish guys to come out. It's probably Beth Phoenix was supposed to be their valet. So there would have been four.
Hmm. My brain's having trouble with that one. My brain's having a lot of trouble with that one, and it still kind of bugs me that Chet never did get called and didn't get called up otherwise, because he had a great look.
I liked his brother better.
Oh, Dean?
Dean Visk. He had a great gimmick in OVW. He yelled like the Ultimate Warrior. It was awesome. Then he got phased out for Bobby Lashley.
Hmm. I think Dean still works in Cincinnati.
I've seen his name, so I know he does something somewhere.
Because I ran into...
When I first saw his stuff in OVW, just looking at him, looking at the gimmick he had, I'm like, well, there's no way this guy doesn't make it. Then they fire. So I was wrong.
It happens
here and
there.
He looks like their type of guy, though. But...
Dean or Chet?
Dean.
Mm.
And Chet did, too, but just Dean more so, I thought.
Yeah.
He looked like the kind of guy they would have just thrown up on TV and started pushing big, but I guess not.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking with Chet, because I know I ran into him, good Lord, 2-3 times at OVW. Loved his look. He was a really cool guy. I know he was working down in Puerto Rico for a while. I don't know where he's at what he's up to these days.
Pretty sure he wasn't he in Puerto Rico with Casey James?
Might have been.
I think they were teaming together.
Okay.
Or feuding, one or the other. Working together in some capacity.
Right.
Was it Chet that got wellnessed while he was in developmental?
Probably.
Like never recovered when he came back?
Probably, given his build.
It seems like it was him, because it was right after the Polish rumors. And the rumors he was about to be called up. Then it seems like he got wellness, came back, kept doing the stuff, and then just kind of phased out.
Mm-hmm.
Like around the time they did the Florida switch. It seems like he disappeared.
Oh, it was a mess during the transition. Just trying to figure out who was going, who was staying. Some of the guys didn't know. We got to talk to better than half the crew when they did the last show in Cincinnati in early 08. I think it was. See if I can get my pictures up real quick. Because we'd gotten to talk to... We talked to Sean Spears. We talked to Josie, a.k.a. Sojourner Bolt. We talked to... I don't think I talked to Derek Neikert that day. I think he was already gone.
Was it Bradley that was the last champion of the WWE era for OVW?
Might have been.
Or was it Matt Sydal?
I know Sydal was one of the last ones, but...
I'm thinking it was Bradley, because I remember reading something saying that they got Bradley and they sent him to Florida, and then... Like a weekend, he had to go back to drop the title.
Okay, it's not coming up there.
And then they told him he was going to TV, and then he didn't. He just did dark matches for a while and eventually appeared to be squashed by the Big Show in his fantastic debut.
My computer's being stupid. 1 second.
He should be brought back. Isn't he a punk guy?
Braddock? Jay Bradley, a.k.a. Ryan Braddock, is who we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I don't.
Didn't he train with Punk, or was he trained by Punk?
All I know is that I think he had been down there around the same time Punk was down there.
I mean, but even before OVW, like when he first started, I think him and Punk trained together. Because I know they're both Chicago guys.
You know, I don't know the answer to that one.
Or it could be him and Cabana. I don't know.
I honestly don't know the answer to that one. Okay, now maybe I can get to my pictures.
Because he's Brad Bradley, right?
Let's see, it was Ray Bradley. It was Midway Monster Ray Bradley in OVW. He was going by Ryan Braddock when they brought him up.
And somewhere in development, I know he was Jay Bradley, and he was Bradley J.
Or you can call me Ray, or you can call me... Let's see... 2008. Give me one second here. OVW last show, February 9th, 2008. Big recruiting day. Just all the people that we got to talk to. Wade Barrett, Dre, Kozlov, Apoc, Cabana and Seidel.
Virgil, was he still there?
Yeah, he was there at the time. Bam Neely, Ricky Ortiz, Drew McIntyre.
The Hammer, Charles Evans.
Yeah, I think he was still there. I'm trying to remember
No, he went to Florida, so I assume he would have still been there at the time.
Let's see, Goose was still here as a ref. Dre Blitz, good lord. Rosa Mendez. Still doesn't know how to wrestle. Sean Spears.
Mike Cruel, is he there?
I'm working my way through it because Rosa was his valet for a while. Not in this particular thing. Johnny Punch before he got himself in shape.
Pat Buck.
Let's see. Los Locos. Casey James. Al Snow making a cameo. Going through everything here. Drew McIntyre. Anyway.
was Ryan Reeves back in OVW yet?
No.
Because I know he came back, like, to OVW after the WWE pulled out, but I don't know at what point he came back.
Right. Let's see. Early 08, Barrett and Burchill were the OVW Tag Team Champions. And for some reason, Hammer Evans was tagging with Colt Cabana. That's amusing. What other nonsense do I have in here? Ah, yes. Mr. Seidel was champion, and he was facing Jay Bradley. There he is.
Not Bradley J. Jay Bradley.
Well, he's wearing a jacket with Bradley across the back, so you can put it wherever you want.
I don't remember. One was his Deep South name, and one was his OVW name. I don't remember which was which.
Standing.
When he moved, they flip-flopped his name, but I don't know what was first.
Ah, yes. And the night wrapped up with a wonderful meet, greet, and eat. at a B-Dubs down in Florence, Kentucky. We just sat there and talked with Colt and we talked with Sidal, and we were the big question, you know, when you guys get called up, you know, do you know what show you want to be on? And Colt said, I don't care what show I'm on. I don't even care what gimmick they give me. I'll be a wrestling fisherman if it gets me on TV.
Good he felt that way.
Yeah, because...
since he got to be Scotty Goldman, that Jewish guy who jobs.
So...
No, I went to an OVW show when I was in Kentucky in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what month it was. It was May or June. Like, WWE had already pulled out, but...
Right.
I remember being there. I went to a show, and I watched one on TV. And I know on TV they were running promos for Ryback. And, like, on the show, I remember Joey Matthews was there. Nick Dinsmore was, like, the authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rob Conway was there. Like, him and Pat Buck were a tag team. Don't even remember who the champion was. I do, but I don't remember his name. Bravado? Something like
oh,
that.
Oh, Johnny Bravado. Yeah, I remember him.
He was either the champion or was challenging for the title.
Okay.
Rudy Switchblade was there.
Rudy's cool. I actually got to work with him. We were getting OVW guys up at Jimmy's for a while. Johnny Punch and Rudy Switchblade and Outlaw Ben Wood. God, who else came up? Adam Revolver, who was the... No, it wasn't him. It was his tag team partner, whose name escapes me, but he was the one guy he was one of, like, two or three people who got their heads shaved but didn't end up in the Straight Edge Society.
One of the McNailers.
No, he was part
Ed
of the Mobile Homer. No, he was part of the Mobile Homers. Not Adam Revolver, but the other guy.
Dewey.
No, it wasn't Dewey either. I think this other guy just went by Man Beast. We always joked he was Jamie Noble's neighbor.
Well, at one point there were like five of them. The old trailer park stable.
Let's see, that was the last, one of the last of the Friday shows. Oops. Open with... Why won't it let me open with Picasa? Oh, well. But, yeah, I was there, you know... Let's see. Dewey and Adam Revolver. Yeah, I'm in Oliventia. I got a brewski. Sonic Fang. Los Locos.
Is Anarchia one of Los Locos?
I'm not sure.
He looks familiar. Every week I see him on TV, I'm almost... Because I know he came from OVW, but I just don't know. I think he's one of Los Locos, but I'm not sure.
Okay. I didn't get OVW in Ohio, which sucked. But I know they still put together a pretty darn good they're still putting together pretty darn good shows.
I know Cliff Compton's back there now.
Mm-hmm.
And Mo Green, the Cat's former manager.
Right.
Minus his wig.
Lamont? Wait, no.
Yeah.
Lamont, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
for Bruce the Butler from his cameo with the APA.
I remember that.
He's Cliff Compton's manager.
That's messed up. Oh, my goodness. Forrest, you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay. Was worried you fell asleep on the phone. Hadn't heard you.
No, and I just, you know, like laughing at some of the funny comments.
Let's see, did I even get to... at least I got to better than half of my list. I just forgot to talk about the fact that even TNA wants in on, you know, wants a piece of Punk.
Come subscribe to our service so you can watch the 4 matches Punk had here. And he was, like, barely lower mid-card.
Wasn't he a flunky for Raven at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was in a tag team with Julio De Niro.
Oh, crying out loud.
They were DNA's version of Raven's Flock.
Yes.
They were called the Gathering. It was Raven, Punk, Julio De Niro, and Alexis Lurie.
And dear Alexis, I believe, followed Punk up to the Fed, because I remember seeing Punk and her together in a dark match on Raw in Cleveland.
Yeah. She got signed before Punk did, though.
Mm-hmm.
She got signed while she was still with TNA, because just 1 week she vanished, and the Gathering was still going.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the next week she's in OVW, still Alexis Lurie, still wearing her Gathering stuff, basically.
So, let's see, I ran into her at OVW, and then she was there, Punk was there. Because I got to see
While the Gathering was happening and Punk was Raven's, like, his lackey, in Ring of Honor they were doing the Punk-Raven feud.
Kayfabe!
So it was fun if you watch both. Watch Ring of Honor, they're, like, cutting these promos on each other. Punk's berating him for his drug use and alcoholism. Then you go watch TNA pay-per-view and Raven's cutting promos while Punk's in the background, like, standing there, waiting to serve him.
Is Punk sitting back there, and you're thinking, did he lose a bet? Because, what was it, I got to see Punk against... I can't remember his ROH name now. The only name that's stuck in my head right now is Gunnar Scott.
Brent Albright.
Thank you. The two of them had an amazing match at OVW. Granted, this was
I remember their feud over their submission holds.
Mm-hmm.
The Anaconda Vice versus the Crowbar.
They had done this match at OVW. This was before they'd redone the building, so there's no barricades, and they end up brawling, they end up fighting in and out of the ring, and Albright ends up on the floor on our side. So what does Punk do? Suicide dives into Albright, and they both practically end up in our laps. As I hear Joey Styles in the back of my head going, it's take a luchador home with you tonight.
So I believe that feud, that was Paul Heyman booking, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, this was back in 05 when Uncle Paul was still booking there. And Al was doing commentary. And I want to say... this was before Dean Hill showed up, and Kenny Bolin was still a regular manager down there. In fact, Bolin might have still had his stable going, and he had Lashley, and he had Chad Gaspard.
Oh, man. Whenever I hear about Kenny Bolin and Bobby Lashley, I just think of Lashley yelling to him, I can speak for myself.
And you're a bastard.
Did he still have Ken Doan, too?
Yes, and because I remember that fall, him and Mike Mondo were just starting the Spirit Squad deal. They were testing out the Spirit Squad stuff at house shows. And a bunch of us who were going to the OVW shows saw him go in, saw him show up, and erupted into a huge Doan is green chant. As he's walking across the parking lot, all of a sudden he hears four people chanting, "Doan is green, Doan is green, Doan is green," and he turns around and he's like, "Come on, guys, leave me alone." I have rare pictures of the Spirit Squad in blue.
Did they ever actually try Elijah Burke in the Spirit Squad at a show, or was that just a plan?
That was either a plan, or I thought they offered it to him and he turned it down. Because originally it was just Doan and Mike Mondo.
I know when they created the stable, it was supposed to be Burke instead of Johnny Jeter.
I honestly can't imagine Elijah Burke in the Spirit Squad.
Looks like it looks a little screwed up in my mind, but it would have been interesting. And I think Burke would have been able to pretty much take over the stable, because I know he's a better talker than Ken Doan.
Well, most of the guys that were in the Spirit Squad were better talkers than him.
Well, I'm just saying, I know Jeter was a really good talker, and they wouldn't let him talk a whole lot. It was usually Doan or Mondo talking. I know Jeter could talk, because I got to see him when he was still tagging with Capitelli before he got waylaid. I didn't know much about Nemeth, short of the fact that before they made him a cheerleader, he was a caddy. So I was like, you know, I don't know, man.
Mitch could talk.
But that was about it. He was a tough... Somebody had to tell me he was a tough enough reject. I honestly didn't, you know... Was he from the 04 class?
Yeah, he was on the Million Dollar Tough Enough with Miz and Daniel Pewter.
And Ryback.
Yeah. They signed, like, almost all those guys off that show, so just not all of them made it.
I still haven't figured out what they did to Dan Rodimer. Never could figure out what they did to him. He had more charisma during Million Dollar Tough Enough than he did the one house show I did see him, where they had essentially... Somebody threw him in a machine and pressed Randy Orton clone.
Yeah, I know. I remember when they brought him up and he did the matches on Heat. I was excited because seeing him on Tough Enough, I thought he was going to be really good. Like the first match he did, I think, was with Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching it. And he came out. His hair was all gone.
Yeah.
He was in the generic trunks. Kind of walked to the ring, looked at the camera, cocky smile, nod. Then he lost to Eugene.
I just... Because the house show... I think he even faced Eugene at this house show. We were late. And somebody had to tell me who Eugene was fighting. And I was just... Who the hell's that?
His only Raw appearance ever still was the Vince limo explosion night. When Vince is walking down the hallway, he's one of the guys standing around. That was his only Raw appearance.
I've got a picture. I have a picture of him somewhere that I'd taken a picture of the Jumbotron. This was during the Tough Enough stuff. Because I think by the time I actually got to see Million Dollar Tough Enough in person, he was already eliminated. I'll have to check. Anyway... Just remembering him with the shaggy blonde hair. He couldn't, cut his hair off. He'd cut his hair off. I'd seen Chet with his hair cut off. I was like, no.
It's like they got a phone call from Johnny Ace.
I'd like to send a phone call to Johnny Ace, but I'm not allowed to press buttons in the archive, am I?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I got a button for Johnny Ace.
I know they tried to give Dolph Ziggler the Johnny Ace approved haircut, but it only lasted like a week.
That's because everybody kept mistaking him for Evan Bourne. He looked like Evan Bourne, just taller. So they thought, oh my god, Matt Sydal hit puberty.
They could have just announced that they had released Dolph Ziggler, then they could have just gone and fired Evan Bourne, but then put new Ziggler on TV and just said it was Evan Bourne. They could get rid of the little small guy that they don't want to push and a bigger guy and just say it's him and maybe people will cheer.
Now, people cheer for Evan Bourne. They would just like to see him win a match here and there.
Well, when you can't even beat the U.S. champion in a non-title match on Raw, you're not doing much because mid-card champions don't win non-title matches.
Yeah, I hear you there.
Oh, well. Ezekiel Jackson, I don't think he's won a match since he became Intercontinental Champion. It wasn't a title match. And he was unstoppable before he won the title.
Well, actually, I wasn't paying too much attention to the handicap match tonight. Oh, well.
You lost.
No, that I remember. And even with, you know, Rhodes and DiBiase tagging in and out, that ain't cool. Well, speaking of SmackDown, I was kind of hoping that they were going to keep going with the Barrett-Sheamus feud.
I guess since Sheamus actually turned face, they didn't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. It was only fun if it was two heels.
Yeah, but I just feel sorry for anybody who has to keep the cameras colored and white balanced with Sheamus and Mark Henry in the ring at the same time.
Well, the production guys have more free time now that they don't have to set up Sin Cara's mood lighting.
Sin Cara's thinking that he's screwed. So it isn't that he got wellness, it's so early.
Well, getting wellness in the middle of a major push like that, and the fact that he was on his, that he'd already got that he, if he'd been, you know, if he's on his 30 days, that means he had gotten a written warning. I guess they didn't write it in Spanish for him.
I was talking to my friend last night about Sin Cara because we were talking about when WCW brought in all the cruiserweights and brought in Mysterio, Juventud Guerrera, Psychosis, etc. Mm-hmm. How it seemed like they just came in and were just like into the flow immediately with no problem. And why Sin Cara, who most people say he's pretty much the equivalent to young Rey Mysterio Jr., why he had such problems with the style. We came to the conclusion basically it's just because of the style of workers that are around. Because those guys came in like Mysterio, his first night he's working with Dean Malenko.
Mm-hmm.
Who had experience working with those types of guys. Sin Cara comes in and he's facing guys like Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase, who probably never dealt with anyone with that style.
Yeah, but that doesn't excuse some of the stuff that happened with him and Chavo.
Yeah. Chavo, though, it's probably been a decade since he's worked with people in that style.
Admitted. And he's still bitter. Did he ever finish his Twitter rant?
It's probably still going. Him and Michael Tarver are taking turns, I think.
Oh, for crying out loud.
At least, though, with Tarver, when Tarver's saying it, you listen, because if you don't, he's probably going to show up behind you with the mask on and knock you out or something.
Yikes. I'd actually made the joke. I found out that Tarver used to work in the Cleveland area. I had gone to a show, and somebody was trying to cash in. They had made a DVD of a bunch of his matches. I saw this DVD, and I looked at it, and they saw me look in the box over, and they said, you know, what are you looking for? And I said, I'm looking for the sticker that says no disc inside.
I know. I remember right before he got his developmental deal that he was working a bunch of shows against the Sandman, and, like, doing a bunch of hardcore matches with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when he got signed, the Sandman posted something on his website, like praising the signing, talking about how good he is, how good he's going to be for them. And I didn't notice until recently that Tarver was part of the Floyd Mayweather entourage at WrestleMania 24.
Yeah, I found out about that. And somebody else had told me the story about Sheamus and Barrett being part of the security guards that showed up at a London Raw show where DX got kicked out. This was the night they scalped tickets from Crime Time.
Yep.
So,
Sheamus gets pedigreed, I think.
I should watch the rest of the footage. I just dug up, I went and dug up New and Improved DX, and I just looked for the segment when the security guards first show up.
I know somebody said that McIntyre is one of them also.
Hmm.
But in the segment, I didn't even see Barrett. Sheamus is the only one you can really pick out because, well, for obvious reasons and because he ends up getting singled out and, like, he gets pedigreed, I think.
Barrett's a blink and you miss it. But I did see him. Drew, I'm going to have to go back and look again.
Since they signed all those guys at the same time, he was probably there somewhere.
Yeah, because this was fall of 06. And I know, because I was running into Barrett in 07 and McIntyre later in 07. Never saw Sheamus.
The same trip, I think, is when they re-signed Steve Willington, too.
Sheamus, I never got to see him before. I never got to see him before he started doing darks. I'd heard a lot about him.
He didn't go to OVW, did he?
As far as I know, he didn't.
I think that I know they signed him at the same time as all the other UK guys, but I think he stayed over there for a while. And then once he came over, I remember seeing his name, like, doing a dark match on, like, one of the last Deep South shows. And then the next time I saw him was when they put up the FCW roster page.
Right. Because, yeah, I got to see him do a couple of darks. And when he finally, you know, they started bringing him up to TV, I was, you know, I've been very intrigued because, you know, physically, he's got a great look. And I'm not even going into the flaming red hair and the fact that he's white as a sheet.
He does have kind of that tough kind of Irish look. not just because of the pounds, but I mean like the big kind of burly kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. And I've joked, you know, fella, do clean up nice. I mean, he's a sharp dresser every time I've seen him in civvies. Just for all the interviews, you know, all the interviews in and out of WWE. When he showed up, you know, I hate to bring this back up, but when he showed up on Abraham Washington, he was always well-dressed. He did an interview recently. And, you know, he looked pretty good.
I know the Deep South dark match that he did. I remember reading about it because I know he did the show as a face. And he teamed, it was like a six-man tag. He teamed with Johnny Curtis and somebody else. I don't remember. And they were against Eric Escobar, Offa Jr., and the man we now know as Brodus Clay.
Yeah. Let's see. Johnny Curtis wasn't at OVW. I met Offa Jr. at OVW.
Yeah, he got moved at the end of... Just while Deep South was still going, I think he got moved.
Yeah, because he wasn't at OVW very long. One of the shows he was there, he was trying to get Rosie's job back. Because this was right around the time that they were looking to rehire Jamal. This was just before Umaga. And Rosie, who lives in Cincinnati, came by, and he and Offa Jr. tagged in a match. Never ran into Brodus Clay. Probably a good thing.
He was strictly a Deep South guy until it closed and he went to Florida.
Okay. Though I believe I...
They were all in a stable in Deep South called Urban Assault.
Okay.
It was Eric Escobar was the leader. Yeah, Offa, Brodus, and Primo Colon.
Poor Primo.
And I think most of them ended up, all of them got shipped to Florida, but Offa made the OVW stop while the others didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I know Johnny Curtis was always a Deep South guy, which is sad because he's been there since Deep South was open and still hasn't technically debuted on TV.
And come to think of it, he didn't have a segment again tonight. Did they run out of visual puns for him?
Probably.
Forrest, you need to send him a list.
Just call him and tell him to start doing your weekly Nancy Grace joke.
Half the stuff I say about her will probably get him fired.
You'd get him over with JBL at least.
I don't know, man. It's a pretty Republican setup. They'll probably thank you. After all, they need to get her. Wasn't she the one that during all the big interview after the when the Benoit mess blew up, she was the one who asked, I think it was Jericho, the question about being demoted from the Four Horsemen to ECW.
Yeah.
Then she deserves all the ridicule in the world.
The one that brought on Johnny Grunge's widow. And she's the one who started the reign of terror of Mark Mero and the List.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I still want to see that list. I want to see it posted. Because I'm pretty sure he padded that list with, like, referees and announcers.
Probably.
Didn't he try to put Joey Morella on the list?
I think so. Maybe I missed the Mark Mero, Joey Morella epic contest, but I don't know. I definitely missed the Mark Mero, Andre the Giant battles.
Ooh. Oh, well. Gentlemen, I'm about all talked out.
All right. I'll see you guys.
But, Forrest, thanks for being on the show again, being on the show this week. And, Typho, thank you for showing up.
Thank you.
So I'm doing my mid-card duty.
You are not a mid-carder, and you can call Carl out about it. You can call Carl out on that. You have my permission.
I know, sure, to think what I'm considered.
Jobber to the stars.
I know, that's probably a little too elegant.
Dark match opener.
Curtain jerker.
Probably ring crew.
No. We'll get you in the ring and not just to fasten the ropes.
See, if they didn't just put Zack Ryder on TV this week, I'd say YouTube show host.
Oh.
At least I'd get a belt, even if I had to make it.
Which, for now, would put you well ahead of me, because I think the only belt I've never, I, as a, in my quote unquote wrestling career, I've never won a belt. But when I was getting ready to leave my job, I was getting ready to leave a job to go train. A bunch of the guys, I was working at a warehouse at the time, a bunch of guys made me a belt out of bubble wrap and cardboard. I don't think I still have it, but that was the only belt I will ever win.
I won a Backyard Federation's title, if that counts for anything.
Actually, I still want the belt that this one dude I was standing, when I went to One Night Stand, there was a guy who had this awesome belt that they had put together. It actually had chainmail on it.
It's Scott Steiner's belt?
No. What, you didn't wear it on your head, and you didn't use it to keep your pants up. It's a championship title. It's not a belt. But it was pretty. Yeah, well. Even though I don't have to be anywhere tomorrow, I'm going to call it here.
See you guys.
Hang in there.
All right.
All right, see you.
Night.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find out any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.